Today, on GeekCast number 37, I have a full review of the brand new iTunes version 4.9, and I'm going to teach you how to social engineer right here, right now, on the GeekCast.
Geez, mate, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Podcasting at the speed of the internet, this is the GeekCast with Aaron Crocco.
Hello to everyone out there in the podcast nation. Welcome to the GeekCast. This is the GeekCast number 37 for Thursday, June 30th, 2005. I'd like to welcome everybody to the show. How you doing? Welcome. Thanks for subscribing. I'm going to get right into the contact information here. We have the feed, which is feeds.feedburner.com/GeekCast. You can get all the show notes for the show at the website, which is livejournal.com/users/GeekCast. Also, you can email me your questions, comments. Also, if you like your tech questions answered on the show, send that along to geekcast@gmail.com. You can reach me on Skype on the username geekcast. And also, you can call me and leave me voicemail at area code 206-98-GEEK-1. So I'd like to welcome everybody to the show. Couple of quick items to note. First off, the new podcast of Podcast Nation will be coming out very shortly, hopefully within the next day or two. So definitely stay tuned for that. Also, I'm getting over a cold. You probably hear it in my voice, so you'll have to bear with me a little. My voice may cut in and out a little. I'll try to pause whenever I really get bad here. It actually got bad during the last episode of the GeekCast. Go figure. So I'm recovering here. I got my can of soda here. We'll be good to go. Also, welcome to all the new subscribers here. Everybody subscribing through iTunes. It's great having you here. I hope you guys all enjoy the show. I've seen the subscribership has gone through the roof. 800 and change of you now. So welcome to the show. It's definitely appreciated. Hope you all stay subscribed. Anyhow, I got really cool stuff going on today. Got some tech news, going to talk about social engineering, and a really, really cool... Oh, can't really tell you yet. Maybe it's a geek's view. Yes, it is. All right, so let's get right into the tech news, and let's get this party started. Okay, the first story is, well, what everybody's talking about. iTunes version 4.9 has been released as of Tuesday. It is out, it's really cool, but I'm going to save all my comments and everything about it for the Geek's View, which will be coming up later in the show. So we'll move right along to the next story, which is part of the same announcement from Apple, that along with version 4.9 of iTunes, you'll have to excuse my voice cracking there, Apple has combined the iPod Photo and the iPod into one single unit, and it's called, dun-dun-dun-dun, the iPod. Yes. Pretty much Apple has phased out the iPod Photo, and now all regular iPods come with color screens. Right now, only the iPod Mini has a black and white screen, and also the U2 version was updated as well with a color screen. The iPods have also changed in capacity. The iPod comes in a 20GB and 60GB version, and they retail for $299 and $399 respectively. The U2 edition has also had a price drop to $329, and also the 1GB shuffle has gone down to $129. Microsoft, in something that's actually good on their side, they've actually updated their anti-spyware program, which is still in beta. Right now, they have extended the lifespan of the program to be at least till the end of the year. Right now, it's beta 1 build 1.0.613. It's the second update of the program since it came out early in January, and the expiration date has now been set to December 31st, 2005. This program was actually designed by a company called Giant, which Microsoft bought out, and they took the software, just all they did was rebrand it, and they put it out there for free. It's actually very good. I highly recommend it. You should definitely use it in conjunction with the other spyware programs you usually use. On another front here, T-Mobile has teamed up with Google. Pretty much they plan to offer full internet access on all their phones, and they also want Google as the homepage. They're quoted as saying, quote, "With the Google homepage, we want to tell our customers from the first moment that they are carrying with them the internet, it's the internet that they know from home." And that is from Yuli Gritsoon. He's one of the board members at T-Mobile. And pretty much a lot of the customers, most people who have cell phones, don't use the internet stuff on it. One, it's pricey, and two, well, it's just clunky. Actually, the only good internet that I've ever seen on a cell phone is on the Sidekick 2. So if you're a T-Mobile subscriber, this could be very exciting. We'll see how this pans out in the next following months.
Get out the soldering iron and Linux disks. It's time for the GeekCast Hacking Tip.
Today's hacking segment is more about hacking people than it is hacking computers. And pretty much when you're trying to get information that is not easily accessible, sometimes using some creativity can come into play and help you get what you want. And this is called social engineering. And it's pretty much something you've seen if you've ever seen a movie or a TV show where you have a private investigator who calls somebody up and they lie about who they are, and they start asking questions to try to get information out of that person on the other end of the phone. Social engineering is also a big tactic that's used on the television show Veronica Mars, where the girl will call up somebody and just ask for information or try to lead somebody on to get them to say something to confirm that she may know. In order to social engineer, you have to know a couple of things, and I'm going to walk you through this. First, social engineering to gain confidential information can be considered a crime, so do not do this lightly. Make sure that you're only doing this with your friends, just to play a joke on them, or in a situation where you are 100% sure you are acting within the law. Do not do anything illegal, or if you're not sure if it's illegal, don't do it, all right? I don't want anybody getting in trouble. You have been warned. So now, when you're social engineering, the main thing is you have to know your lingo. And all companies use some sort of internal lingo, internal terms and acronyms and all sorts of stuff. From Old Navy to ISPs to corporate organizations, there's always lingo inside where, if you think about internal procedures and items that are happening at the company, think of it where you work. How many internal procedures and items do you know about that have all these code words or acronyms that if you were telling somebody outside the company, they'd have no clue what you were talking about? These are key to social engineering. What you need to do is you need to actually figure out these terms, and sometimes you could do it by calling a person and engineering them, saying, well, you know, I needed to do this, and if they say, oh, you mean blah, 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 they've given you the term right there. And by going through and calling multiple times and picking and choosing, you could actually begin to have a cache of lingo that can help you get further and further to get the information that you want. Also, knowing the lingo can get you far with an unsuspecting person, where they will a lot of times just assume that you are who you say you are. An important thing is to get in, get out, and make it subtle. When you call somebody and you're looking for a specific piece of information, you should bury the question within other questions. So if you're looking for something really important, you should ask a couple of questions and kind of lead into it. And if the person gives you a hard time, you can't show any stumbling, you can't show any fear, you just have to kind of roll with it. And if the person presses hard, then it's not a situation where you should hang up, because then the person's guard is up. So it's all about pretty much how somebody would act if they were a little suspicious. And sometimes if you're good at what you do, you could shake this off. This sounds really interesting to you, and you'd like to learn more about social engineering, there are plenty of websites on the internet that speak about this. You could also pick up the book from the famed hacker, Kevin Mitnick, and it's called The Art of Deception. You can find it at bookstores everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, they all sell it. You should definitely all check it out. It's a lot of fun to read and to learn about this. Again, just make sure, whatever you're doing, that it's legal.
Letting you know what sucks and what's cool, get ready to see things from the Geek's View.
As promised, this is the Geek's View of iTunes version 4.9. Released on Tuesday of this past week, Apple has brought out the newest version of iTunes, which is only a couple of months past the last version of 4.8. Now, 4.8's main purpose was to include video in the iTunes Music Store and support for that, and that had tighter integration with QuickTime, which is Apple's media player. Now, 4.9 has come out, and this is a major upgrade because, well, it includes podcasting support, which is really, really cool. So I'm just going to go through a couple of items with iTunes and just let you know what I think about it and let you know some of the features. The most notable, again, is the podcasts. There's actually a item in the sources area on the left-hand side that says podcasts. And when you first go into here, it's going to be empty because you're not subscribed to any podcasts. But on the bottom, near the right and near the left, there's actually a link that says podcast directory. And by clicking on this, it'll actually take you to the iTunes Music Store, where they actually have a podcasting directory. And this is like a subcategory, just like the other categories they have on the store, where, you know, they have rock, they have pop, they have classical. Now there's a category for podcasts. When you go to this podcast page, there's actually a search in the page, and also the search up top in iTunes changes to be podcast specific. All you have to do, search for what you want, or if you see something featured, you click on it, and it looks like any other item that would be on the iTunes Music Store. Has a picture, has a description, has information, and it also shows the episodes. And there's, of course, those silver buttons, but in this time, instead of saying buy song or buy album, it says subscribe. Once you click this, it'll ask you if you're sure. You say yes, and you can have it not come up after that for that message. And it adds it to the podcast area on iTunes. You're good to go. You are subscribed. Now, a couple of interesting things about this. One, this version of iTunes right now, it does not support OPML. OPML is the format that most podcasting clients recognize in order to import and export the feeds that you're subscribed to. I've used iPodder, and I also was using Doppler up until this came out. Now, instead of just exporting my feeds to an OPML and importing them into iTunes, I actually had to look through all my feeds and then resubscribe to them in iTunes. This was highly annoying. The export feature was built for a reason, because, let's face it, if you have 40 feeds, you don't want to go in and hand code all of them to be subscribed. So this is a little bit of a nuisance for it. Also, when the podcasts are updated, if you have an iPod, you still have to tell iTunes to update your iPod. And I found this out the hard way, where I had new podcasts that were downloaded to my machine. I took my iPod, I went out for about an hour. When I got into my car, I pulled out the iPod. There were no podcasts on the iPod at all. So you have to make sure that even after you update your podcasts, you need to make sure to sync your iPod. It does not auto-sync. Again, another hassle. Now, the other thing about this is that they have the top 100 podcasts listed in the store. Now, my question is, where is this top 100 coming from? Because this seems to be the usual crew of Adam Curry, Dawn and Drew, Inside Mac Show, This Week in Tech, and now there's a whole bunch of new ones that are brand new. There's Disney, ESPN, ABC News, Al Franken. Well, that's not new, but there's an Al Franken one. All of these podcasts are brand new, and they're in the top 100 podcasts. So I'm not sure about why Apple is doing this. It may just be an initial list while they aggregate some true numbers, and this will upgrade within the next few days. We'll see what happens. Also, iTunes now has iTunes-specific tags that need to go into your XML code so that the description, the picture, the information about the file itself all need to be iTunes-specific. Again, another hassle. Especially if you're using FeedBurner like I am. Now, the cool thing is that the people at FeedBurner are working really hard to get iTunes-specific tags built right into the FeedBurner, where you just click a few checkboxes, fill out the information, and boom, your RSS 2.0 feed is now iTunes compatible. It shows up correctly. Like, for instance, right now, my podcast, this, the Geekcast, you can only search by Geekcast. It doesn't come up with my name. It doesn't come up with anything else. And that, again, highly frustrating. On the good side, this is huge for people who have never heard of podcasts, and I am all for that. My circulation has just jumped a few hundred people within a day. It's incredible. So people who have never heard of podcasts, never heard of podcasting, are now open up to all these shows. It's really cool. I'm all for that. Again, though, if you're worried about bandwidth, that's going to be a tough one. This show was already added to the iTunes Music Store when it launched the podcast directory. Now, how did that happen? Are they going through different directories and just adding it in there? Again, who knows? But on the bright side, it does add a lot of people. There's a huge exposure, and it integrates right into iTunes. No more worrying about it. It comes up in a playlist on your iPod, which is really nice. It's all, you don't have to worry about changing the tags when the file is downloaded. It does do cleanup, which is another great item. You could tell it to keep all episodes, only episodes that are X amount of days old, or shows that just have been played. Me, if I listen to a show, after that I'm done. So if the file has been played, it'll clean it up next time it updates. It works really well. Also, if there's a podcast or song or anything that you've downloaded that you want to keep, all you have to do is drag the song from the podcast area into your library, and it copies it in there. Everybody should definitely check this out. I'm not sure if it's good enough yet to just drop your normal podcasting client, but for now, it's a really, really cool feature. I think Apple's on the right track. They need to tweak a lot of things here, but you know, they got it out as Steve Jobs promised, and I believe that they just jumped the gun a little to get it out to ride this wave of podcasting. We'll see what happens. Anyhow, I've rambled on about 6.5 minutes on this, so I'm going to end it here. You should all check it out at iTunes.com, also Apple.com/iTunes, or if you have iTunes installed already, just go ahead and check for the auto update, and you can do that by going to the help file in iTunes and going clicking on check for iTunes updates.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
All right, everybody, so that's about going to do it for this edition of the GeekCast. Again, this is show number 37 for Thursday, June 30th, 2005. I'd like to welcome all the new subscribers from iTunes. Thank you for subscribing. It's appreciated. I hope you all enjoy the show. Just to answer a common question I've gotten from a lot of people, the Leo Laporte episodes are offline. I only have a limited amount of space for the shows. I can only keep the latest 4 or 5 episodes online, so when I record a new podcast, the oldest goes offline. If you want one of the older episodes, catch me on Skype. I will definitely send it to you. It's not a problem. Anyhow, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. The website, livejournal.com/users/geekcast. If you want the show notes automatically emailed to you, send a blank email to geekcastpodcast-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. You could Skype me on the username Skype. Send your questions, comments, or your tech questions to be answered on the show to geekcast@gmail.com. The feed is feeds.feedburner.com/geekcast. I promise everybody who's getting this through iTunes, there will be iTunes compliant tags as soon as Feedburner gets going on this. I'd like to thank everybody for subscribing. Please vote for me on Podcast Alley. I'll see you next time, everyone. Take care. Oh, catch Podcast Nation coming up soon, all right? Hopefully within the next day or so. Take care, everyone. Talk to you later. Bye.
Don't stop, chitty, 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 by your captains in a steady watch, never be. Don't stop, chitty, 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 by your captains in a steady watch, never be.